Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
And it's 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. Pacific time, here on HealthyLife.net Radio. That means it's time for Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm your host, Jay Cruz, checking in. Today we're going to talk about the NBA Finals, maybe a little bit about the Stanley Cup Final. I don't know why the two, one's plural, one is singular, is what it is. And we're going to look into a little bit of an early kind of check out of some of the changes that have happened with National Football League free agency, new players in the league draft, and the OTAs have recently happened for the majority of teams. And, you know, we're going to kind of go over the quarterbacks that have gone on different teams and look into that position and kind of start prepping for the fantasy drafts that will be coming up in a couple months. We'll be looking at those changes, and as training camps open, be able to focus a little bit more on position battles and stuff like that. As a lot of new talent coming into the league, a lot of new quarterbacks, a handful of good wide receivers, a lot of running backs have changed teams, and we're going to kind of get set up with that because there has been a lot of movement, and that could affect how you're going to be drafting your team coming up this year. Also, about a week from today, I think the European Championship of Soccer will be up and underway. There's 24 teams that'll be trying out for the championship. So I'm going to talk about that later on as well. If you have any questions, you can always write to me on email. It's tough to call in. I mean, you can, but I don't have somebody to answer my phone, and it's tough to just answer the phone live on air. And assume you're calling to talk about the show. You could be calling to sell me a new policy in my auto insurance, which seems to be most of the calls that come in if the phones aren't busy. That seems to be the nature. And I thought they kind of banned the robocall. And apparently they just let that go. So I wonder if there's other things they've banned that we can just turn the other cheek to. Leaf blowers, hey, they banned those here in the South Bay. But I hear him every Tuesday morning at 7:15. So, not to complain. To quote Bill Walton, the luckiest man alive. And it could have been a little Bill Walton karma in the city of Boston last night, as one of their taller guys, Kristaps Porzingis, who had been down for the last little over a month, he had an incredibly monster game, as ESPN has called it, to help the Celtics go up 1-0 against the Dallas Mavericks, who were coming in on a five-game road streak and had just beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, both teams had about a week off, you know, where you get to the point at the season where you're competing for the championship, you've gone through the playoffs, and then all of a sudden, because of the schedule and the TV schedule, all of a sudden you're basically, you know, kind of off for a week. A lot of athletes' bodies start thinking, yeah, it's time to get to the tropics and time to get to the golf course, you know? But Boston seemed to kind of almost be a little over-ready. Maybe Dallas looked off. They were kind of not playing their best game. Number one, Kyrie Irving, you know, had been a lot of made of him returning to Boston, where he's 0-10 or 0-11 in games against the Celtics since he left the Celtics. And some people may or may not remember, if you didn't see it in the pregame show or any of the lead-up to the game, Kyrie Irving was famously a Boston Celtic. He'd made a big deal about getting traded there, and it just didn't work out. And, you know, to the point where, you know, things got bad, and there's a famous picture of him even doing the two-finger salute to match his number 11 jersey to the folks at the Boston Garden when he was wearing a Boston Celtics jersey. So he, you know, orchestrated a trade to get to Brooklyn with Kevin Durant, tried to set up a super team. James Harden was there. That was like a lot of people that don't seem to stick around with teams too often and force a lot of trades. So Kyrie ended up in Dallas. But, you know, he was also dealing with a lot of the, you know, COVID situation stuff where he refused the vaccine. And the city of New York, which Brooklyn is part of, basically, you know, the health restrictions and mandates were very strict. California wasn't exactly a country club either during that time. So, you know, hey, Texas, they seem to have a different outlook on things. And, you know, him and Luka Doncic have been playing extremely well and have really become a good backcourt duo. So Kyrie Irving, bad game in game one. We'll see if he's able to turn that around in game two. He did play better in the second half, but did not shoot well from the field last night. And it was a night where the Celtics honored Hall of Famer Bill Walton, and the franchise took a big step to claiming the record-setting NBA championship. Thanks to Kristaps Porzingis, it was his first game in more than 5 weeks because of a calf strain he suffered in the first round. He had 20 points, 6 rebounds, 3 blocks in 20 minutes Thursday night, leading the Celtics to a 107-89, pretty much a demolition. I mean, you should almost give them the championship now, but it is a best-of-seven series. They crushed the Mavericks in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. It was Porzingis' first playoff game since the first round, and it came against his former team. Porzingis' status had been the dominant storyline over the 10 days between the end of the Eastern Conference Finals, which saw the Celtics sweep the Pacers, and the start of the NBA Finals. He hadn't played since Game 4 of the Heat against the Heat in the first round. Porzingis had been back in practice about a week, in which he said a media day Wednesday he would be playing, but admitted until he played in a game, you know, things have been interesting when half an hour before Thursday's tip-off, Boston announced that Al Horford would remain in the starting lineup, meaning Porzingis would be coming off the bench. Well, he came off the bench, still poured in 18 points in the first half. I turned on a game a few minutes into it, and it was like 12-9. I'm like, oh, okay, that's a pretty basic opening kind of score. And then about another 10 minutes, turned back in. It seemed like, I know Boston was up big time. I think they wrapped up the first half up 25 points. Dallas came back in the second half. And at one point in the late third quarter, midway through the third quarter, late third quarter, they had whittled that 25-point lead. And I think at one time it was 30 points when I first turned on, actually. And I'm like, wow, this might as well call this game. If this was a Little League game, we'd all be going to the snack shack and slicing up oranges. But it wasn't. And, you know, Dallas has seemingly been down in so many games in the playoffs. You're like, yeah, the Mavericks got the Celtics kind of where they want them, you know, up by 30. And next thing you know, the Mavericks were whittling back, even though they didn't seem to have their complete game. There was not a lot of fast breaks. Shooting was a little cold. And, you know, the fast breaks and the alley-oops, mainly from their backcourt, Doncic and Irving, hitting the big centers, Lively and, you know, Jones, and getting a lot of spectacular dunks on basically a lot of backdoor passes. Seems like the Celtics were ready for them, and with the Mavericks shooting semi-cold from the field, you know, they're pretty much in trouble. The Celtics came in, you know, scintillating, red hot. I'm not going to say the Bill Walton thing gave them some extra motivation, but, you know, it kind of could. You know, he's a Hall of Fame player, did play famously for the Celtics, and he played for a couple other teams too, but he had even said in many interviews, even that he lived in L.A., he bled green. He was definitely bought into the whole Celtics thing and enjoyed his time with Boston. Even coming back in L.A. and working, you know, with the L.A. teams, Clippers, his son coached the Lakers and played for them, Luke Walton, named after his friend Maurice Lucas, and when they were in the Portland Trailblazers together. But Boston has kind of been focused on this all year. If you've been following the league and been following, you know, their incredible season, and then they're running the playoffs, they've been money, especially if you're you know, putting money on them. They've returned pretty well. In fact, in game one at home, you know, in the playoffs, they have covered big time in three of the four opening games of the series when they were at home, the exception being in the last round against Indiana. They did win game one, but the interesting thing about that, too, is they either won very close games against Indiana or actually lost game two at home. So Sunday night, we'll see if Dallas is able to come back, see if they're able to get their game with the centers back running, you know, and get that happening. See if Kyrie Irving has settled down and can play a little bit more consistent. And, you know, Luka Doncic, who's been dealing with a leg injury, I believe a knee, for pretty much throughout the playoffs, but he's putting up good numbers and is, you know, showing us what a great player he is. Now, at the end of the series, Mr. Porzingis said he would then comment on his time with the Dallas Mavericks. Apparently, he and Luka didn't exactly get along. I'm not sure why. None of us are, but apparently Kristaps Porzingis will let us know at the end. Now, he's got a very unique set athletic skills. He's 7'3" and is a great outside shooter and a pretty decent ball handler. Typically, the folks that are that tall are not as good at ball handling and such then as the guards. However, the European players seem to have been, you know, trained a little bit different and put an emphasis on more of a complete game than just being a big guy who go down there and stand around the rim and get a lot of lob passes and some easy dunks. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how the series plays out and to see if Dallas is able to come back and, you know, make the score at least a little closer in game two, and then take a little momentum back home for the two games they get at 3 and 4 back in Dallas. Now, if you're trying to plan your TV watching around the series, game one happened already. Game two will happen on Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock on the West Coast on ABC. Boston is favored by 7.5. That's about right. Especially last night, they were favored by 6.5. And, you know, since they did win big, it would stand to reason the odds makers are going to boost them as a little bit bigger of a favorite. Although, you know, keep in mind, they've lost, you know, two of the three games on game two at home in the previous two rounds. So, but the way they looked last night, you figure they're going to probably win the series. It might go 6 or 7. I kind of think it will. Even though last night's game was clearly purely dominated by Boston, they jumped out to such a big lead in the first half that they kind of coasted. But once Dallas got the score to 9 points, you know, I'm starting to think, you know, they can actually get this down to 6.5 and cover the spread for Dallas, even if they don't win. That'd be a remarkable feat. But Boston closed the door a couple minutes after the Mavericks got the score to within 9 points and looked like they were, you know, back in the game. And they were for a moment. Yeah, Boston just turned it on again and seemed to, you know, withstand that run and go ahead and move on ahead. So, you know, Boston, you know, it's kind of been a strong team for the last couple of years. They were in the finals and were leading, and then the Golden State Warriors took care of them and won that championship. There was a lot of smack talking between the two teams, and the Warriors came out on top. Boston got to the conference finals last year, in which the Miami Heat, serious underdogs, knocked them out, only to lose to Denver. So Boston's already been... Apparently, the Caesars Sportsbook and all of those people have already made Boston the favorite to win it next year. So, is that a bit premature? Who knows? But last night, they certainly look like they're world beaters and can easily be the champions this year. And they've been, you know, a team pretty close to this and focused. They made a few trades and got a few new players like Porzingis and Drew Holiday, and kind of helped them with a great season this year. And, you know, kind of at the last minute, you know, Boston's seed number one in the Eastern Conference, which is much softer conference. The West Conference has, top to bottom, much better teams. I'd say all the teams that made the playoffs, including even the four or five California teams are in the play-in round. Lakers were in that, the Warriors, the Kings, and the Pelicans were in there too, and the Clippers actually were at seed number four. They're just slightly ahead of the Dallas Mavericks, who are the fifth seed in there. But we'll see what happens. I'm not going to count the Mavericks out quite yet. I expect them to keep things a little closer on Sunday night. We shall see. Dallas will host Game 3. That'll be on Wednesday, again on ABC. Basically the same time, slightly later, 8:30 Eastern Time, 5:30 Pacific Time. They'll play again next Friday, which is, that's a bummer. I got band practice on Friday night, so I'm going to figure out how to watch that game. Won't be able to listen to it. Anyway, Game 4, the Mavericks hosting that game. And again, 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, and 7:30 local time in Dallas. Monday, if necessary, Game 5 back at the TG Garden House in Boston. Thursday of next week, the 20th, Game 6, if necessary, back in Dallas. And if it goes to 7, and I really hope it does, because, you know, hey, more basketball. I'm not ready for the season to end quite yet. But Game 7, if necessary, will be 1 week from, it'll be the 23rd if it happens on Sunday. It's going to be 1 week past Father's Day, which is actually next weekend. I think I got that right. Yeah, they'll be skipping Father's Day and not playing that day if needed. So the 23rd of June, Game 7, if necessary, from Boston. The National Hockey League in the Stanley Cup Final. Not going to cover that as much because I've been really focused on basketball. And I admit it, I'm a bit more of a fair-weather hockey fan. You know, I like some of the original six teams. It's a little more fun when they're in there. I was really hoping the Rangers could get into the finals. Sorry if you're a fan of the Florida Panthers. But the Panthers earned it, and they are taking on the Edmonton Oilers. Yeah, Florida, don't think about hockey. Edmonton, hockey home. Actually, one of the better teams. That was where Wayne Gretzky played and scored many of his goal records. And that was a great team they had. I think they won four in a row with Gretzky, Mark Messier, Marty McSorley, Grant Fuhr as a goalie. Just some really outstanding teams. And, of course, the Gretzky trade to Los Angeles certainly brought a lot of fans, casual fans, into hockey, especially here on the West Coast and in the southern region of the United States, where, you know, Dallas is in the conference finals and, you know, we're challenging the Oilers. So the Oilers in Edmonton and the Panthers in Florida, almost Miami, will be flying 2,541 miles from the Edmonton airport to the Miami Fort Lauderdale Airport. I'm sure they have official names. I just don't know them at the moment. I did find out that Toronto's airport is YYZ, which is cool because there's a great song by Rush, an instrumental jam on the Moving Pictures album that is called YYZ. And to be honest, I didn't know that was the name of the airport until just this past week when I was looking up the Toronto airport code. Because it turns out I have a piece of hockey memorabilia signed by Hall of Fame hockey player Larry Robinson, whose son-in-law had a sporting goods store and still does here in the beach cities of Southern California. And I used to work with that store over the last 20 years. And when Larry Robinson was a member of the then defending champion New Jersey Devils, he got to spend his quote-unquote day with the Cup. And he, because he's a Hall of Famer, he has more pull than like the average defenseman on the one of the teams that might win coming up here in a few weeks. He deferred his day with a cup to bring it to one of the stores opening, And we had a day with a cup inside the store, invited the public. And, you know, before that, Mr. Robinson was very nice to sign autographs and other things for the employees and kind of meet us all. And, you know, just kind of cool to, you know, hang out and talk with him for a day. Very respectful, respectful man. And especially in the world of hockey, he's like, you know, really, you know, a big name as someone who played a long career with the Montreal Canadiens when they were seemingly winning every other game and championships, Stanley Cups, and stuff like that. Anyway, there's this little card that is presented by it has a number etched on it, you know, so it's like you know, like a serial number that's etched on this. It's kind of like a collectible card, not unlike a baseball card, but not exactly. And it has a unique shape and the logo of the Hall of Fame. And as he signed it, you know, and gave each of the employees one, he's like, you know, if you're ever in Toronto, this will give you free pass to the Hockey Hall of Fame. And, you know, for a long time I thought, well, I don't want to turn that in. I want to keep this memorabilia. And as I'm watching the hockey playoffs, I'm thinking, you know what? This looks like it could turn into a bucket list trip to Toronto. So that's how I looked up just to see what flights might be. Not as expensive as I thought. So this might be something I might look into at some point in the next year or two as a little bucket list goal. Never been to Canada. I appreciate Canada. I've heard great things about Toronto. And I'm just going to try to plan it maybe in the late summer, early fall before it's extremely cold in Canada and, you know, sort of enjoy myself day at the Hockey Hall of Fame. Now, I did look. I think the Hall of Fame tickets they're reasonable. They're not like they're super duper expensive, but, you know, why not, in a sort of John Wick way, why not hand in one of these gold coins to get a favor that this is good for? Since I do have some other things from Larry, you know, some photos autographed and all of that, but, you know, why not take advantage of it with a free ticket to the Hall of Fame? I just got to get to Toronto. That's easier said than done. And at the same point, I started thinking about the other Hall of Fames for the other sports here in the United States. There's the Basketball Hall of Fame in, I think, Springfield, Massachusetts. That's actually farther to go than Toronto. And, of course, Ohio has the Canton Pro Football Hall of Fame. And go in there and see the old memories of guys like Jim Thorpe and Gale Sayers and Jim Brown and Lombardi. And, of course, there's the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's in upstate New York. Cooperstown Hall of Fame. Haven't been to that one. That one I think I would need 2 days because I really just geek out at museums, number one, and baseball, number two. So that certainly would be probably a two-day trip I would need. And interestingly enough, I have been to the, well, it's not a Hall of Fame, kind of is, but it's a museum in Kansas City, Missouri. A lot of people don't know, actually, the big part of Kansas City is in Missouri, and the secondary half of the city, or other city officially, is in Kansas. Even our president at the time when the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl congratulated the folks of Kansas for supporting the team. And that is the Negro League Baseball Museum, which is interesting because Major League Baseball in the last week or so, just out of the blue, decided that, hey, you know what? Those statistics from the Negro Leagues, we're going to incorporate those into the all-time statistics of Major League Baseball. So now Josh Gibson is the all-time home run leader in basically American baseball. You know, and at the same time, they haven't included Sadahara Oh, who was a home run champion of the Japanese leagues. But Josh Gibson, he hit like 800 home runs in his career in the Negro Leagues. Now, there's probably a couple of reasons these statistics hadn't been incorporated before. And obviously, Major League Baseball didn't let the players who had to play in this league into Major League Baseball. And it was interesting that a lot of players at the time who were darker skin than Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth. Sort of said they were either Native American or Latin American and were able to kind of get by and play some games. But nonetheless, it is an amazing museum if you ever have time to visit that one. I have, and it's definitely a lasting impression on me. Didn't have time to get to the Charlie Bird Parker Museum, which is kind of connected to the Negro League Museum in Kansas City. But if you're in Kansas City, I highly encourage you to visit this museum and support it. Or I think one ticket, and you can go to both if you can. If you're so inclined to check out baseball history and jazz history, two big parts of American history. I'm Jay Cruz. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And we're back, Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm your host, Jay Cruz. Been talking and following sports since I can remember, which is a little over 50 years. Just not to give away my age, but that's why I can remember things that happened in the World Series in 1972, but can't remember what happened in, say, 2016. That's just part of life. If you're around my age or older, you understand. If you're in your 20s, well, they don't tell you this when you're 20s, so get prepared for your future. The U.S. Open is happening this weekend and actually has already started, and the guy who won the Masters is already off to a decent start and was at one moment on the leaderboard, Masters champion Scottie Scheffler. Well, he said he knew 5 days in advance that charges related to his arrest at the PGA Championship were going to be dismissed, but in his mind, that wasn't the end of the saga, but rather the beginning of trying to put it behind him. Criminal charges were dismissed on May 29th, nearly 2 weeks after images emerged of the world's number one golfer being arrested and handcuffed outside the Valhalla Golf Club in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, Scheffler and his lawyer told him on May 24th that dropping the charges had become a formality because we had a lot of evidence on our side, but that didn't mean he had moved past it. Yeah, altercations and interactions and being arrested sucks. I mean, you don't just shake that off unless you're, Pablo Escobar or someone like that. With the charges dropped, it's almost more appropriate for people to ask me about it, Scheffler said Tuesday ahead of the memorial. And to be honest with you, it's not something I love reliving just because it was fairly traumatic for me being arrested going into the golf course. Now, the case stemmed from a fatal accident, jumping ahead there. Even with the U.S. Open approaching, images are still hard to forget of Scheffler in gym shorts and a t-shirt being led to a police car in handcuffs. You don't think golfers are the most high on the list of interactions with the police. Usually that's reversed for NFL players in the offseason. Check out the Kansas City Chiefs offseason. Now, even with the U.S. approaching, I mentioned that, the case stemmed from a fatal accident involving a pedestrian named John Mills, who was a employee of a PGA Championship vendor who was hit by a shuttle bus near the entrance to the Valhalla Golf Club. Now, Scheffler was trying to drive around the traffic that resulted from the accident scene on his way into the course. This is the first time I've heard about this. He was charged with a felony for assaulting a police officer with his vehicle, along with three misdemeanors, after police alleged he did not follow instructions. So, nonetheless, he's definitely looking forward to putting it behind him, and I think much of the PGA would like to see that happen, but he ended today with a birdie to briefly move ahead of the leaderboard, which is, I think it's Friday. I think that's day two of the tournament. They usually kick these off on Thursday. So, if you're interested in watching this tournament, the U.S. Open Championship, that's this weekend. You can watch it on the Peacock app and NBC. So I also said we're going to talk about the European Soccer Championship. The club tournament just ended last weekend, and Real Madrid defeated Borussia Dortmund 2-0, as they say in soccer. And that's their all-time. I think it's the 15th championship cup for Real Madrid. They're kind of the Boston Celtics of European soccer, if you will. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. The Celtics and Lakers are technically tied for championships. Some of those Lakers championships came in Minneapolis back in the George Mikan days, it seems like half of those championships for the Celtics came in the 1960s with Bill Russell, who was another legendary player on the Celtics. I've always kind of enjoyed the Celtics, even though in California, the Lakers typically are a bit more popular team. And then, the championship in college between Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, I was completely rooting for Magic and Michigan State. I had been following them all year, and Magic was just an engaging personality. I thought Larry Bird was a good player, but when I got the Sports Illustrated back in the day, the one with Magic on the cover seemed a little more fun, and the one with Larry Bird was interesting. I still remember the headline. I just thought it was a little off-putting, if you will. He was called the Hick from French Lick, Indiana, which is where he's from. I just didn't dig them calling him a Hick, even though it may have been an apt description. And when they got to the pros, you got to watch Larry Bird a lot more with the Celtics. I mean, he couldn't have gone to a team that was more perfect for him, and he definitely, belonged there. So, that was kind of a weird tangent, but the Boston Celtics might get their 18th championship, which gets us back to Real Madrid. So next week, kicking off Friday in Germany, as they'll be the host nation for it, Germany will be playing Scotland in round one of the European Championship, Group 1. Day two, Saturday. I mean, they almost always have the host nation playing the first game. And then there's normally three games per day with that exception. So Saturday, Hungary and Switzerland will play. Spain and Croatia will be playing after that. And Italy and Albania will be wrapping up basically the first full day. Italy are the defending European champions. And they won the last one in a final against England. And I believe it went down to penalty kicks, as they all seem to always do when you get to these big-time championships. But here's kind of a quick list of all, it's easier to go through the schedule because the abbreviations and the flags then get a little confusing. It's easier just to read who is participating. So Sunday, June 16th, Poland and the Netherlands will face off. Slovenia and Denmark will also be playing. and England will make their debut playing against Serbia. Now, as far as watching these games, they're going to be a little difficult to check out. If you have the Fox Sports 1 channel, you can watch many of the games. Some of them will be broadcast on Fubo TV and the Fox networks. On Monday the 17th, Romania and, surprisingly, Ukraine. Not that they have a lot going on in their country, but they have enough to put together a competitive team. And they might be a sentimental favorite for many fans who don't have a rooting interest already. An example here in the U.S., because all of these other countries, if you're, say, from Belgium, you're rooting for Belgium. Speaking of Belgium, they will take on Slovakia in their opening round game. Austria will face France. On to Tuesday the 18th, Turkey and Georgia. And the other game will be Portugal and Chechnya. Used to be the Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia, Chechnya. Wednesday, Croatia and Albania. And then the host nation will begin their second game of the group stage also. That'll be Germany against Hungary, and then Scotland and Switzerland. Thursday the 20th, Slovenia and Serbia, Denmark versus England, and a couple powerhouses in international football, Spain and Italy. Friday the 21st, Slovakia versus Ukraine, Poland versus Austria. Now, when you look at these two nations' flags, they are so similar. Poland is white and red. Austria is red and white. Same colors. Poland has a white stripe and a red stripe. Austria has a red, then white, then red stripe. So you see why I chose to read the schedule instead of the little graphic on the group tables. Then Netherlands takes on France. Their colors are practically the same. Netherlands red, white, and blue horizontally, while France is blue, white, and red vertically. Saturday the 22nd, Georgia and Chechnya. Turkey and Portugal. And Belgium and Romania. Again, two countries with nearly identical flags. I think the colors are the same. Romania has a logo in the white portion in the middle. Sunday the 23rd, Scotland and Hungary, Switzerland versus Germany, Croatia versus Italy, and then Albania versus Spain. And Tuesday the 25th, Netherlands versus Austria, France versus Poland, Denmark versus Serbia, and then England versus Slovenia. Wednesday, the 26th of June, Slovakia versus Romania, Ukraine versus Belgium, Georgia versus Portugal, and Chechnya versus Turkey. And that'll be the three matches for each team in groups of four, so that they will get down to the final round of 16. Two teams from each of the groups, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The first two will basically be the first 12, and then there will be four at-large teams, I believe. So, positions 1 and 2 qualify for the round of 16. Position 3 will be the four best third-place nations qualifying for the round of 16. So, you know, some of these groups are fairly competitive, some not as much. But, you know, you just – international tournaments are kind of cool because – they're going to be full of professional players in various leagues. There's going to be some names in some of the bigger leagues, of course. Kind of a couple big names that were left off the English team. Reported on that last week on my sports segment on the HRN News at 7. So, Euro 2024, starting in a week. If you're a fan of soccer and a fan of golf, it's time for those summer sports because it's basically summer. I'm Jay Cruz. It's Fantasy Sports Friday. You can always find this show on the podcast on demand link here at HealthyLife.net Radio, and come back as we take a quick look at NFL quarterbacks and various changes for your fantasy draft coming up probably in August, right after this.
Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Everybody down! Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold off. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
And we're back. Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm your host, Jay Cruz, and we're actually going to talk some fantasy sports right now, especially football, briefly right now with baseball. My keeper league team, the Southside Stone Sox, I've got six pitchers who qualify for the injured list. The maximum amount we can put on is four, and I got about six pitchers and a couple other position players, so I got like roughly a third of my team that can't even take the field right now, and I can't really cut or drop or make too many adjustments because these are players I want to keep. So that seems to have been the story of baseball fantasy this season. Get good pitchers and hoard your good pitchers, because the injuries of pitchers is just really off the charts this year. Some experts have claimed it might be the 30-second pitch clock that's speeding up the game. Players getting Tommy John surgery left and right. So, and one guy I really had high expectations for, although there were tempered expectations just the way things went, was Blake Snell. I picked him up on one team last year for a bargain free agent price of $1 when he's worth a lot more than that. Some owner gave up on him very early. I was kind of in the bottom third of the league and sort of was in a position to, you know, take a chance. Picked him up for the free agent minimum of $1, and he turned things around. Then he had the free agent period this off season and spring, and you know, he decided to go with Captain Greedy, also known as Scott Boros, the manager who, you know, is always asking for more money than owners seemingly are willing to spend. These clients end up, you know, holding out, missing training camp, coming into the season late, and then, since they missed training camp, not in shape. And that's going on with Blake Snell right now. He's had a pretty bad year. And, you know, he signed a two-year deal with the Giants, and I'm literally thinking, you know, this season's kind of a wash because he hasn't even been healthy and has not been doing well when he's been playing, a.k.a. no spring training. And, you know, signed basically at the last minute with the Giants. Got a two-year deal, averaging $30 million a year, so he got paid, and Scott Boros got paid, as he always does. But what's going on with Snell? He's been quite injured. He's back on the injured list again. And, you know, that's going to be a few more weeks, and who knows after he comes back. Figure, you know, the season's close to halfway over, not all the way, and there's still a good chance he'll be good down the stretch. But then, you know, next season comes up and it'll be, hey, contract year. You know, are they going to extend him? Is he going to start, you know, is he going to stick with Scott Boros after, you know, this season not getting to training camp and having the injuries? Is he going to, you know, get a new agent? But next year will be, you know, his last year in the contract, meaning, you know, he's going to be concerned about his free agent deal. Does he want out of San Francisco already? Anyway, hopefully for him and me, since I plan on still having him on my teams, I'd like to see him have a fair shot. So, one of my football leagues called the Wild Fantasy League and Yahoo Sports football team named the Florida Fender Jacks. And I named them that because one of the players, it was a team that and it was in the league that the owner had quit. And basically, last year we were able to keep up to 3 players. This year they raised it to 4. So, not sure if I'll be keeping Trevor Lawrence, who was one of the quarterbacks I kept. Last year I built the team around Trevor Lawrence, Tyreek Hill, and might have been Travis Kelce. I figure they're all pretty good players. Basically, with the exception of Trevor Lawrence, they're all, you know, really top-end players in their category. Trevor Lawrence, not bad. Sort of expected him to do a little better last year than it ended up doing. But nonetheless, it's time to kind of decide on the players I'll be keeping going into the draft. I have to deadline of Saturday, August 4th, I believe, to decide. So the commissioner just sent out the email to reactivate our team last couple weeks ago. And at this point, eight owners have responded. I think there was a 10 or 12 team league last year, so might be waiting on a few others. And again, it is early, and you know, sometimes there's the occasional player that might quit. Maybe they don't like the league, they don't like their team, or maybe they just don't like fantasy sports anymore. They've decided to turn the page, do something else. But so I checked the players that were available, and I have to go actually on the desktop or a different sign-in than the fantasy app to, you know, double-check the players who are still on my team. But basically, it's at this moment a ton of free agent quarterbacks that will be available, and pretty much the top 4 that are available are still with their team. And then Caleb Williams, he is a rookie with the Bears. You know, this is a keeper league. Maybe if you think he's going to do good, might be someone to go ahead and draft. There's a lot more quarterbacks available. Baker Mayfield, who last year was a huge question mark, seemed to turn things around very well in Tampa Bay, and they re-signed with them. So seems like he finally found a home after bouncing from Cleveland after leading the Browns to the playoffs and then was in Carolina and for some reason couldn't solidify the starting position on that job. But that organization is bad. Kyler Murray is available. He was kind of injured last year, came back in the second half, and when he did, Arizona turned things around. For Kyler Murray in Arizona, they picked up Marvin Harrison Jr. in the draft, so that stands to reason that they will improve right there. Will Levis of Tennessee, not sure how he's going to work out, but Tennessee, this is definitely a growing pain year for them. Jaden Daniels, the number 2 pick out of Louisiana State, LSU, is with the Washington football team, formerly the Redskins, currently the Commanders. And I think another player who's got great potential, especially here in a keeper league. So Russell Wilson's now with the Steelers. Bo Nix, another rookie, now with Denver. And so far, they say he's kind of the number one quarterback. And, you know, what's his name, the coach who's a bit overrated, Sean Payton, you know, leaving all that money on the table with Wilson to release him. They have a dead cap hit of something like $70 million. So they don't have a lot of money to spend on other free agents, but they were able to pick up Bo Nix with, I think, the 10th or 11th pick in this year's draft. Bo Nix with Oregon last year and put up some big numbers. He's already considered the leader of the pack for Denver's quarterback position next year. And, you know, the one thing Payton might be able to do, Sean Payton, is, you know, work with a kind of a brand new rookie, doesn't have many built-in bad habits already. We'll see how that goes. J.J. McCarthy, former quarterback in Michigan, has been drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. He's currently not the leader in the quarterback race. Apparently, Sam Darnold is actually the number one quarterback in Minnesota right now. Darnold. He came into the league out of USC, highly touted, highly thought of, and he went to the Jets, and that kind of wasn't so good for him or the team. He ended up going to Carolina. Why he couldn't lock down that job, who knows? Ended up back up in San Francisco last year, played a little bit. I think there was a game or two where Brock Purdy was either had already put the game out of reach with the Niners or might have been dinged up on a play or two. And Sam Darnold got to hang out in that quarterback room and that organization for a season and is now with Minnesota. Interesting, because Minnesota picked up Josh, I'll get to his name here in a minute, you know, the guy that they got from Arizona, I think Josh Gibbs is the name. He's now the backup in San Francisco. Drake May out of North Carolina, he's more than likely going to be starting for the Patriots at some point, whether it's early or later. That is probably going to be the plan, although Jacoby Brissett, I think, is back with the Patriots. We'll get to his name here on the list in a minute, too. Daniel Jones, still with the Giants. I would avoid him on my fantasy team. And then you got two Raiders, Gardner Minshew Jr., the second, and Aiden O'Connell. Now, Gardner Minshew, I've seen some statistical comparison to Trevor Lawrence. Actually, Gardner Minshew has just as good or better statistics than Trevor Lawrence, yet he's bounced around on four teams. He was in Jacksonville before they traded for or drafted Trevor Lawrence. Then he was in Philadelphia for a season as a backup, and last couple seasons in Indianapolis, and basically seemingly everywhere he goes, he ends up starting because of the injured quarterback being injured. He puts up decent stats, and looking forward to him being with the Raiders. He kind of reminds me of Ken Stabler, so he belongs with the Raiders. And then Aiden O'Connell, you know, the Raiders definitely must see something in him. He was pretty decent last year as a rookie when Josh McDaniels was fired and Antonio Pierce was promoted. Literally, the first thing he did was bench Jimmy Garoppolo and promote Aiden O'Connell to the starting position. And O'Connell, you know, they went 5-4 in the games he started and the games that Antonio Pierce was coaching. There was a couple games where they, you know, could have won, and their offense just struggled in those games. There was the game against the Colts, which was like a 3-0 game, and yeah, now the Raiders have both the quarterbacks from that game, so very interesting. But anyway, thinking that the Raiders, you know, right now O'Connell is still number one on the depth chart going into training camp, and it'll be an open competition between these two. You know, they signed Minshew at a decent price for a free agent, but enough to entice him to possibly start. And, you know, with all the talk leading up to the draft, the Raiders certainly had Jaden Daniels on their list due to a past connection of Jaden Daniels and coach Antonio Pierce when they were both at Arizona State before Pierce went to the NFL to coach, and when Jaden Daniels went to LSU, where he eventually won the Heisman. Now, you would think they could have thrown in Aiden McConnell as a trade to another team that was at the top three or four, and you know, Caleb Williams was pretty much spoken for with the Bears, but Jaden Daniels was, you know, on that list, and also Drake May and a few others, pretty deep. Michael Penix, who ended up going to the Falcons after they signed Kirk Cousins. So, you know, I thought they could have packaged a couple draft picks and Aiden O'Connell if they really wanted to get the new rookie and make him, bring him in, maybe have him learn under Minshew, and then, you know, maybe really try a little bit after some experience. But they, you know, sticking with O'Connell. So that's going to be a very interesting quarterback battle. I don't know if it'd be a strategy to have both those quarterbacks on your fantasy team, knowing that at least one's going to start. Checking out any other new players on new teams. You know, the Jets have Florida State quarterback Jordan Travis, which is already a step from last year when good old Aaron Rodgers blew out his Achilles tendon. Out of Tennessee, Joe Milton III is now a New England Patriot, and this guy has supposedly got one of the stronger arms in the game. Also, Spencer Rattler is with the New Orleans Saints, someone who has been mentioned as great potential. And the pros. Kind of taking a scan down the list. Andy Dalton is still in the league. He's a backup in Carolina. Good luck, Andy, collecting that check. And, of course, Carolina had the number one draft pick last year, which is went to Bryce. Didn't do so well. Also backing up the New York Jets might be someone to look at for depth, especially if you end up with Aaron Rodgers, draft him or have him already. Tyrod Taylor, who's been around the league and is a capable backup. Joe Flacco, who sort of turned the Browns around at the very end, is now a backup in Indianapolis. Interesting, he's unretired. Zach Wilson, who had a couple horrible seasons with the Jets, much maligned, he gets a fresh start in Denver. Trey Lance, who was the 49ers, moved up super high to pick number one a couple seasons ago. They traded him to Dallas last year. He's still in Dallas, and this might be the final year of his rookie contract. So we'll see what happens with him. They still have Dak Prescott. And Jacoby Brissett is with the New England Patriots, kind of where he started off. You know, he was mentored by Bill Parcells, really helped get him into the league. And he's been a very capable backup spot starter for a number of years, number of teams. And he's kind of in that situation again where they have Drake May, which is the future. And Brissett might start a number of games and even end up the starter coming out of training camp. Ryan Tannehill is still in the league with Tennessee, which is interesting. They've got, Tennessee's might be one of the worst teams this year. Now, after I've said that, they'll probably win their division. Bailey Zappe is still with New England. He played a little bit. Josh Dobbs, quarterback, backing up in San Francisco. And Mitchell Trubisky is back with Buffalo. As we get a little closer to the end and almost wrapping up the show, Cooper Rush, still a backup in Dallas. Guy's shown some promise when he's played. Sam Darnold might be the starter in Minnesota. That's someone to possibly consider. And, of course, they just signed a huge contract with Jefferson to keep him. Well, he's now the highest-paid non-quarterback in league history. Jimmy Garoppolo will be a backup with the L.A. Rams. I think they picked him up really to help give insight into the old 49ers offense, and he's suspended at the beginning of the season, which is partly why the Raiders were able to let him go at a pretty inexpensive price. So that's kind of an update on quarterbacks. And oh, yeah, one other guy who looked pretty good last year filling in with the Bengals is Browning, who was backing up Joe Burrow. Jake Browning is his name. I'm surprised he didn't get a good free agent offer from somebody with the offseason happening. Jameis Winston is now in Cleveland. He's been with the Saints for many years. Marcus Mariota is going to be a backup in Washington. Might end up starting if Jaden Daniels struggles. Michael Penix Jr., you know, a lot of criticism with the Atlanta Falcons for selecting him after signing Kirk Cousins to a whopping contract. We do know contracts can be basically blown up and players can get cut. Michael Penix was expected to definitely go high in the draft, but probably to a team that didn't have a quarterback plan. But, you know, this could be a segue plan. Maybe Kirk Cousins plays the first one or two seasons on that contract, and by then Michael Penix learns enough and can handle the NFL and the leap from college to the NFL. Anyway, a lot more of that speculation on these teams will be happening as OTAs are now over, a couple weeks to a month until the training camps will open, and then the season will begin. But when it comes to fantasy football, try to carry at least three quarterbacks if you can, or have a plan to get to a quarterback who's either going to be a significant backup or maybe one of these rookies that, you know, maybe not start at the beginning, but will start at some point in the season. And if you're on a keeper league, dynasty league, it could be your quarterback long-term future. I'm Jay Cruz signing off. Until next Friday, Fantasy Sports Friday, HealthyLife.net Radio.